Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. This is day number 156, which brings us to Romans chapter 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. We don't deserve anything from you. We can't really give you anything, for all good things come from you. You're the creator and sustainer of all that is. And yet you speak to us, and you invite us to know you, to know your very thoughts and your will for our lives as you reveal them in your word. So what a privilege, what a blessing it is. Father, please write your word on our hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news! But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. That's Romans chapter 10 in the ESV. So, at the very beginning here, you might think, well, who's the them that he's talking about? Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Well, you have to go a little bit further behind to say he's talking about Gentiles and Israel. He's talking about the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, Jewish people, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law because they did not pursue it in faith, by faith, or as though it, but as if it were based on works. And so they stumbled over the stumbling stone, and that is that you have to have faith in Christ. And so when Paul says, for them, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about Jewish people. And so the Jewish people have by Paul's own eyewitness account, because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a student of Gamaliel. He was zealous. He was devout. He was serious. He says, they have a witness. They have a zeal for God. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. But it's not according to knowledge. What does that mean? Well, they don't know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, this end here is telos, which means Christ is the goal, the fulfillment. It's where the law takes you. If you're striving after a righteousness by the law, by the Mosaic law, you're going to see repeatedly your own unrighteousness. And then if you look at Christ, you'll see that Christ is the fulfillment of the law, that he comes to complete the law, to finish the law, to fulfill the law. And so the law of righteousness should lead you to Christ. Galatians, Paul says that the law is our, translations usually say schoolmaster, but it's sort of probation officer is how I've heard one person translate it. It's our escort, it's our nanny, it's our supervisor to bring us to Christ. And it's a word in the Greek that has to do with someone who would check on students and make sure they were going to school and doing their lessons. So not the one who's actually teaching them, but the one who would actually take them to the goal, which is to get to school. So the law is our escort, our chaperone, our nanny, our supervisor to bring us to Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. So you have a choice. You can either say, I'm going to become righteous based on the law. Well, if you're going to try to do that, the person who does the commandments shall live by them. You're going to have to do all the commandments. So you start with the Ten Commandments, and you keep them all perfectly all the time. And then you can, from there, flesh it out with all of the commandments that God has given. The Pharisees numbered over 600 of them in their catalog of the commandments of God. Do them all perfectly from the heart, out of love for God, without failure. Not possible, right? So that's just an unrealistic expectation. Well, Jesus did it. It wasn't unrealistic for Jesus. So here is the alternative, a righteousness based on faith in Jesus Christ. So you either have a righteousness of your own that's based on the law, or you have the righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ and comes from Christ if you believe. If you believe. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one professes and is saved. Why? Because faith joins us to Christ. Faith says, Jesus is my salvation. He's my righteousness, my sanctification, my peace with God, my all in all. My salvation from beginning to end is all and only Jesus. And Jesus, I trust in you. So you profess, Jesus is Lord. He's Master. He's Righteous One. He's Anointed Messiah, Fulfiller of the Law. And you believe that he's alive forevermore. God has raised him from the dead. He sits at God's right hand. He's the Lord of all. And he says, Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the answer to this idea that somehow the doctrine of election or the doctrine of predestination is unfair. Like God doesn't give people a chance. Of course. Of course. Everyone who believes in Christ will not be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we looked at this when we looked at chapter 9 and we talked about Esau and the unbelieving, the ones who are not elect, the vessels prepared beforehand for destruction. Like they're responsible for their own guilt. They're responsible for their own sin. Esau despised his birthright and sold it for a bowl of red lentil stew. Ishmael mocked and persecuted Isaac and was expelled from the covenant household. yes, they were not chosen, but they were also guilty of their own sin. And here, because the elect show themselves to be elect when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when they call on the name of the Lord. So from a human perspective, it is a wide open, a sincerely wide open and honest call. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's what Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer said, brothers, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. They didn't tell him, well, if you're elect, then you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's true. Because you're elect, God gives you the gift of faith. God makes you alive in your heart. You're born again, and then you're able to call on the name of the Lord. But from a human perspective, they simply said to him what was also true, and that is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your whole household. So there's nothing unfair about it. Everyone who calls on Jesus for salvation is saved. Everyone who rejects Jesus and continues in stubborn unbelief is going to be condemned. But what we find out is our only hope of having our hearts changed, the heart of stone that we have by nature taken out, a heart of flesh given to us, our natural rebellion against God taken away, and faith in God given to us, our only hope for that is that God would change us from the inside out. And if God changes us, then we are changed. Amen? So that's what we need. Now, how does this come about? How does God call his elect so that we will respond and call on the name of the Lord? Only if we hear the gospel from a preacher, from someone who proclaims the gospel to us. How will they call on him whom they not believed? How will they to believe in him of whom they never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? This reminds me of the famous story of William Carey, who is credited with beginning the modern missionary movement. I think there's a lot of reasons to say that that's not really an accurate claim. But anyway, William Carey was a tremendously important missionary, and he wanted to go and reach the heathen with the gospel. And his Presbyterian board of elders said, you know, one of the elders said to him, Mr. Carey, if the Lord wants to reach the heathen, he'll do it with or without your help. And he was exactly wrong. You see, he was a Presbyterian who believed in predestination and the election, but he was wrong to think that God's going to reach the heathen with or without us. Romans 10 says exactly the opposite. God uses means. So William Carey wrote a very famous book on the right use of means for the saving of the heathen, something like that. And so he says, we're going to use the means that God's given us, and that is someone has to go and preach the gospel if they're going to hear and believe and be saved. So sometimes, again, like we said in chapter 9, people put God's sovereignty and human responsibility as almost like opponents or enemies, when really they're just two sides of the same coin, and God's sovereignty establishes human responsibility, and human responsibility is the outworking of God's sovereignty. It's a mystery how they work together, of course, but they do, and the Bible tells us very clearly that they do, and so we cannot reject either. We have a responsibility to take the gospel to the nations, to our neighbors, to those who have not heard of Christ, and as we preach the good news, God uses the preaching of the gospel to save everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, who are his elect, of course. And so we see this being fleshed out here at the end of chapter 10, where their voice has gone out to the end of the earth, their words to the end of the world. What about Israel? Well, Israel is being provoked to jealousy by so many Gentiles coming to believe in their Messiah. Jesus was Jewish. Jesus was from the nation of Israel. He was the son of Abraham, son of David. He's of the covenant line. He's of the covenant promises given to the Jewish people. And yet, many, 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 many more Gentiles believe in Jesus than Jewish people. And so, God says, I've been found by those who did not seek me. I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me. God is gracious. God is bringing in every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. People who have no history or heritage from the Lord are being given a testimony of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be part of that. I think this is a great call for us to be involved in evangelism and missions, because God has called us to do this work, and he will be pleased to save many through the means of our prayers and our labors in the mission of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us to be on mission in the world with you. Thank you that we can have beautiful feet of those who bring the good news. Help us to be bringers of good news, senders of preachers who bring good news, so that we might bring glory to you in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be jumping back to Leviticus tomorrow, picking up with Leviticus chapter 11. Hope you can join us for that, and I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.